how the face of autism is changing, and our first live guest of the new year has written all about that change to tell us about her new book, Autism in Heels, The Untold Story of Female Life on the Spectrum. Welcome to the show, Jennifer Cook O'Toole. How are you doing, Jennifer?
Morning and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too. It's a great, but I love the picture. Those heels are cracking, aren't they? Those red heels.
I tell you what, I have a shoe thing.
It's me too. Me too.
Yes,
shoes and bags.
Absolutely. And so, you know, and that's kind of actually in particular, red heels are sort of became sort of known as my thing, and I figure, hey, I'll be Dorothy and, you know, walk myself home all the way. But, and so I think it's a great kind of catchy visual, too, to exactly like you said, you know, changing the face. There's lipstick on that face now, that face of autism. And I think a lot of people aren't always aware of that. And sometimes we are swishing around in some pretty awesome heels and with some bags on us and not necessarily the way the world is anticipating or thinking about autism.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're certainly learning a lot more about it. And autism, I should imagine, doesn't have to define you. It's not what you are. You have autism, but, you know, you're still a fantastic, I've seen pictures. You're a lovely looking young woman and you wear heels and like handbags like the rest of us.
Yeah, I have my days, you know. But yeah, exactly, right, like anything else. I mean, it's you know, it's part of, I always say we're on the human spectrum first before we're on the autism spectrum, right? It's just it is a part of your neurology. It's it is certainly explains a lot. It helps you, once you understand, you know, they always say, you know, the road to happiness begins with self-awareness. Well, that's certainly true. And, you know, when you can understand yourself and explain yourself and your needs to the rest of the world, that's, it's never an excuse. It's about saying, okay, here are the areas in the world where I need a little bit of extra support so that I can be fabulous and shine in every other way. Or, you know, if and when I fall on my face, at least we can all laugh about it together and understand what the heck is going on, you know. Sometimes one of the foibles of these shoes, then it's okay. Exactly.
Yeah,
It's part of how you are, not necessarily who you are.
Well, just to explain how I understand it, autism is an umbrella term. You were diagnosed 3 years ago with Asperger's. Now, what does that mean?
Right, so I was actually diagnosed in 2011, because my first book came out just a year after that, which is just insane. Autism, so Asperger's is a term that is still used by some diagnosticians. It's more frequently used in Europe still, but basically it is a type of, if you will, autism, where it was basically specifying that you had no verbal delays and that your IQ was normal, if not higher than normal. And so that's sort of what we think of, you know, if you've ever seen the TV show Big Bang Theory, right? There's that kind of Sheldon Cooper stereotype where you've got the very, very, very bright person who's a little bit socially quirky. It's that sort of idea. And I am not Sheldon, but there are always extremes on TVs, right? And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about Asperger's. It's really people who I say maybe are better with facts than necessarily with folks, and will have specific passions, which other people might find being almost like obsessions that are their areas. Almost they become professorial, and it's because we're more comfortable. Facts don't change except for Pluto. You know, that threw us off, but other than that, you know, facts are a lot more reliable than people. So
yeah, I have been reading about it, and people with Asperger's do seem to be overachievers. They seem to be super intelligent.
Well, and that can be, I mean, obviously it's wonderful. We've all got our aptitudes and gifts. You know, the thing is that sometimes we can mask ourselves right out of the help that we might need. And what that means is you know, just having a high IQ, right? That means that you have the ability to solve all sorts of different problems or come up with different ideas, but it certainly doesn't really speak to emotional flexibility or social cues or, you know, all the things that kind of daily life, a resilience that you need for daily life. And so a lot of times what happens is people will not be aware of the supports that we may need. We may not be aware of the supports that we might need because, well, dang, we're smart, so they're obviously, you know, everything else should come along with it. And it doesn't always work that way. You know, so, and sometimes, to be very honest, I think it's easy to come off as arrogant when you're really just trying to communicate, how can I, you know, constantly feel so smart but so dang stupid at the same time?
Yeah. And what I don't get as well, because I think, if I'm reading it correct, you were 35 when you were diagnosed. Why did it take so long? Because you said as soon as you were diagnosed, everything suddenly made sense and you realized why you are how you are. But why...
Right.
Why wasn't... I just don't get it in this day and age. Why was it picked up? I'm stunned.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, I was diagnosed because I kind of started doing the digging. And that's been part of the problem. I was diagnosed, or I often say identified, after my kids, which is really the case for most, almost any adult female, even many just adult men as well. It's really after our kids are identified as being on the spectrum because, you know, the lookout is there from schools, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it wasn't talked about. It wasn't even on the radar, especially for girls and women. If you're over 25, forget it. It just wasn't going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, and so the problem is then, you know, that you've got basically for, you know, so eating disorders are, should be just, if there's a girl or a woman with eating disorder, it should be a red flag that she needs to be evaluated for autism, for Asperger's. I certainly was. Unfortunately, you'll see that self-harm and violent dating relationships or controlling abusive dating relationships are pervasive throughout as well. And so you've got these wonderful, you know, beautiful, fabulous people with these great spirits and hearts and great passion and care, and there's such a misunderstanding and thought that people on the spectrum don't feel. It's quite the opposite. It's that we feel so deeply that sometimes we have to either remove ourselves from situations because, or really just find a way to disconnect because things we feel so powerfully. Not that we don't feel at all, but the problem is because we may react to things differently. We may show those feelings differently. We may sound overly intellectual, that we aren't understood, and especially when it comes, like I said, to girls and women, the results for not being understood are years of bullying and really great damage to self-esteem that needn't be there.
And questioning yourself as well, I would imagine. Why am I the way I am?
That's exactly it. I mean, that's logic, isn't it? Right? As humans, we're always looking for the reason why. And when our friendships don't quite fit, you know, or don't sustain the way others do, especially women, girls, and you know, women, our friendships, our relationships are nuanced. You know, at best, they are complicated.